Welcome back. We're here with the Assembly candidates for seat E. They are Harriet Drummond, the incumbent, Peter Olson, challenger, and Liz Vasquez, a third challenger. Let's go to our 30-second opening statement, starting with Harriet Drummond.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to the voters. I've been a small business owner and homeowner in West Anchorage for over 30 years. I've learned a lot about how government functions during my school board service, and focusing on my West Anchorage constituents has been very enjoyable. Public safety has always been a priority with me. I'm looking out for property owners through tax breaks and cost-saving measures, such as consolidating benefit packages and maximizing usage of city facilities. I'm working closely with residents and business owners to make sure all road work is done with consensus so it works for the community. I'm Harriet Drummond, and I'd love to continue to represent West Anchorage on the Assembly. Thank you.
Peter Olson, opening statement, sir.
Thank you, Michael. My name is Peter Olson, and I'm also running for the West Anchorage Assembly seat. I've lived in Anchorage for over 40 years. I grew up in Anchorage. I graduated from East High School, and I want to make Anchorage a great place to live and raise a family. I'm a small businessman and a conservative spender. I want to make sure that our neighborhoods are safe, our parks and trails are adequately maintained, our streets and roads are properly maintained, and we have good police and fire protection. When I'm elected, I'll fight for lower taxes. My name's Peter Olson, and I'd appreciate your vote on April 5th. Thank you.
Liz Vasquez.
Good evening. I'm Liz Vasquez. I have lived in Anchorage for 28 years and in West Anchorage for 14 years. The number one job of the Assembly is to manage this wonderful city for the benefit of our residents, not special interest groups. As a result, I'm deeply concerned about the Assembly's approval of union contracts in 2008. The Assembly should not be forced to make cuts to essential services because of poor financial decisions. As a director and former chair of Sugarcane Electric, I have the experience and proven record of asking tough questions on financial matters. As a former prosecutor, I know we need safe streets. I would appreciate your vote on April 5th.
We hear a lot about taxes and whether they're fair or not. How do we determine if taxes are fair here in Anchorage? Liz Vasquez.
Well, it's not a question of, quote, fair. I think we need to deliver better value to this community. Why does the city and the school district, for example, have two print shops? Why do they have two separate maintenance shops? Why do they have just array of different programs or a duplication? Not giving better value to the citizens of this community.
Harriet Drummond, how do you see the tax question, the question of fairness?
That's a good question. In speaking with my constituents door to door over the last several weeks, I've heard a variety of opinions. They are all concerned about getting value for their tax dollars, making sure the streets are cleaned. We're experiencing that right now. The ice is melting, street maintenance has been hard at work, and I'm making sure that my constituents get what they're paying for.
Okay, Mr. Olson, let's turn to you, slightly different question. Is there any way to diversify our taxes here in Anchorage, so that we aren't so reliant on the property tax?
Well, I think there's a couple of things we can do. One of the first things I think I would look at to help diversify the revenue stream is probably look at discontinuing some of the special property tax exemptions for specifically the churches. And I think that some of the churches have abused the current system, have multiple homes that they don't pay taxes on, and I think that's a real key area. Additionally, I think there's some other revenue streams we can look at, such as potentially some additional taxes on alcohol and cigarettes, and potentially a seasonal sales tax, where some of the tax revenues and burden would come from visitors to the state versus all just the residents.
Thank you very much, Mr. Olson. This is for Liz Vasquez and Harriet Drummond. You have been sparring over the police and fire contracts. Lawmakers in some parts of the country have all but abolished collective bargaining for public employees. Should the legislature, starting with Liz Vasquez, abolish collective bargaining in Alaska?
Well, first of all, the legislature several years ago took the step of redefining the benefits for public employees on the state level. I think it is really a local issue, and that is what the local community needs to handle and deal with. We do have a situation where the unions do support candidates, and elect them to public offices such as the school board and assembly. And in essence, the union tends to be on both sides of the bargaining table, which is not in the benefit, in the best interest of this community. So it's really a local issue, and the community needs to start getting involved. They need to start informing themselves of what benefits and salary local unions are getting. For example, the average benefit package for a firefighter in this community is $158,000 without overtime. For the plumbers and outfitters union for the city, it is $128,000 without overtime. And in one union contract, it provides for 55 days of paid holidays and leave per year without seniority for the first 5 years. So I think it's a local matter, and I think the local community needs to be involved in making those decisions.
Those salaries and benefits are the result of collective bargaining. So in that case, would you abolish collective bargaining?
No, not necessarily. I think that the community needs to be more involved, and that was my original answer. I think the answer lays in the community's knowledge of what's going on and how officials get elected and what special interest groups raise money for them and get involved. I think that's really a local issue. It's for the local community and not necessarily for the state community to intervene in all matters.
Okay, Harriet Drummond, let's go to the same question. The collective bargaining decisions have been made in Wisconsin and other places, limiting and in some cases abolishing collective bargaining. Would that be appropriate for Alaska?
It's my understanding that about 30% of the jobs in the state of Alaska are government jobs, local, state, and federal jobs. We're hugely dependent on our public employees, and I've always supported public employees. The collective bargaining agreements that were signed in 2008 were negotiated in good faith by the administration and presented to the assembly as a package, and our only choice was to vote them up or down. In addition, those contracts fell within the parameters that were set out by the 2007 assembly, which was chaired by Dan Sullivan.
Okay. There's been a lot of discussion about Title 21, the land use and zoning laws, but let's keep this simple. Title 21 is designed to improve Anchorage. At the present time, what is the least appealing aspect of the way Anchorage looks?
Too much asphalt, I think. We have taken away a lot of the natural drainage in this community, and there are a lot of people who are concerned about asphalt, about parking, and that's a major issue that is addressed in Title 21.
And Mr. Olson, you want to give a shot at that, the least appealing aspect of the appearance of Anchorage?
Well, I'd have to agree with Harriet about the asphalt, but one of the other things that just drives me nuts is all the utility poles and telephone poles, and if there was a way that we could bury some of those cables, get them underground, and do away with some of the poles, I think that would help make Anchorage a more
That's
beautiful city.
That's something we can do, and they've done a couple in my neighborhood, but it's an expensive proposition, isn't it?
Yeah, it is fairly expensive, but I think it's worthwhile because it would help make Anchorage a better place to live, beautify the city, per se.
Liz Vasquez, we'll go back to you. After hearing what you've heard from your opponents here, what would you do to improve the appearance of Anchorage?
I would, well, you have to balance the needs of private property owners with beautification of the cities, and it's got to be a balancing act. There's always room for improvement. There's always, I love greenery, I love trees. I live in an area of town where there's lots of trees. It's very woodsy, so I like that. I appreciate our parks and so forth. But you also have to balance the needs with business people and people who've had their properties for many years, and for them to not be able to resell their property because there's some onerous zoning constraint imposed would not be fair. So we've got to balance it out. I like to see more landscaping, but it's a balanced approach. I know the citizens, for instance, in the far east corner of the city sat down with Walmart and convinced them to do some more landscaping. So it's got to be a balancing communal job.
Once again, this is Running. I'm Michael Carey. I'm here with Peter Olson, Liz Vasquez, and Harriet Drummond. Harriet Drummond, your critics try to paint you as just too liberal. How do you respond to that?
If just too liberal is paying attention to what my constituents want and making sure that they're getting their money's worth out of their property taxes, then being liberal is just fine with me.
Okay. Liz Vasquez, you tout your experience on the Chugach Electric Board as the Board of Directors. But for many years, the Chugach Board has been one of the most contentious, if not dysfunctional, boards in town. What did you learn on the board, and is the board different now?
Well, actually, you know, there's a saying, sometimes you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. And people initially, in my personal experience in observing human nature, is that most people don't like change. So change sometimes causes a little chaos, a little disruption. But at the end, we do have a better Chugach Electric. And I'm proud to say as chair, a lot of what is happening now is the result of the hard work we did with my team and I
and
as chair.
As a result of this, is there less contention between the unions and union and management out there now?
Yes, because I think the unions are beginning to figure out that we're on the same boat. In other words, if you you could kill the goose that lays the golden egg, so to speak, if you abuse the goose too much. In other words, I do have a record of voting no on overly excessive, expensive contracts. Contracts that provide, for instance, 41% increase in retirement benefits, 19% increase in wages. And every time I would say, and no cap, no limit on health care. But every time I said on the record, I said, I cannot vote for these overly generous contracts in light of the financial condition of the association and the economic circumstance of the community. So everything is relative.
Okay, Peter Olson, what can government do, if anything, to reduce or control the soaring cost of energy, especially for home heating?
How about let's get on with the natural gas pipeline? for the electric customers as well. I mean, there's things like the Fire Island Wind Farm and the Susitna Dam Project. I mean, there's a lot of things I think that we can do to get on board and help our energy situation.
Okay. Harriet Drummond, do you want to take a shot at the home heating question?
Sure. I think that government can do a lot in terms of education. The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation has been doing energy audits for several years and working with citizens to get rebates for the energy-saving work that they've done on their homes. The city of Anchorage did have a weatherization program until a few months ago when the administration decided it was best to hand that program over to Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. And I'm not sure how that's going to work out. I have not heard at this point, but I'm a little disappointed that the city didn't keep its local connection with its citizens in terms of energy savings. In addition, the administration has done a good job of energy alerts and cutting down our usage of energy. It's all a matter of education, and I think we need to continue to talk to our citizens about that.
Thank you, Harriet Drummond. Liz Vasquez, how much money have you raised for your campaign, and who are your major contributors?
Oh, about $45,000 to date. There are no major contributors. The construction, home builders industry, they're interested in a very good economy. They're interested in good stability, fiscal, financial stability of the city, long range. Too many for sale signs, for lease signs are really not good for this community, both as a homeowner and someone that works in this community. So, but there's lots of little contributions coming in. So,
thank you.
I don't have any union money for obvious reasons.
Could have fooled me. Same question for you, Harry and Drummond. Who are your major contributors and how much have you raised?
Oh, gosh. I do what my campaign manager tells me to do, go out and talk to voters and raise money, but they don't tell me how much I've raised. I think I'm in the neighborhood of
$70,000.
I know,
yeah.
But the last one said $35,000. My current one is, I think, it will be $70,000. About $20,000 of that is from union PACs, but the huge majority of my donations are from over 400 individuals, many of whom have been supporting me as a candidate for many, many years through my school board service, through my first assembly campaign in 1999 and again in 2008, and I just really appreciate their support.
Thank you. Mr. Olson, what are Anchorage's top transportation priorities?
Top transportation priorities. In light of $5 a gallon gas, I would say that Our top priority should be expanding our bus routes and our bus service and trying to get more buses out on the streets to help people who cannot drive to work or don't have an automobile or can't afford to buy gas. One of the other things, we're coming up on the springtime here, and we really need to get the pothole patrol back out and start repairing our roads and streets.
Okay. And the school bonds, the $70 million worth of school bonds that are on the ballot, Mr. Olson, how are you going to vote on the school bonds?
Yes.
For all three?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
I think the schools really need the money.
Okay, how about you, Liz Vasquez, the school bond?
I would vote yes for the $17 million that is proposed for additional vocational training. We seem to have a bigger need for vocational training since we know that a lot of students do not go on to college and they do need to be able to support themselves and gain some type of trade or skills. But with regard to the big $38 million bond for service, I would prefer to really study that further because that is only part of the project. It's a total amount of about $67, $68 million. That's a whole lot of money to renovate one high school. So we would need to take a closer look and do some drilling down and figure out, is it really critical? Is it really needed? After all, that school budget has doubled in size the last 10 years. Although enrollment of students have gone down.
Let's go to Harriet Drummond for about 25 seconds on the school bonds.
On school bonds, as you know, I served on the school board for 9 years and supervised a lot of construction in those years. Service High School is one of the last of the high schools. We have spent similar amounts of money on East, Bartlett, and Chugiak, and Service has been waiting patiently. A significant amount of that money has already been spent on Service, and this would complete their project.
Thank you very much, and we'd like to thank Peter Olson, Liz Vasquez, and Harriet Drummond for joining us on Running. We'll be right back with Seat G.